Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to give this presentation. A terribly long title and also a terribly long list of, co-authors, but this is really, I'm giving this presentation on behalf of a big team of researchers that are currently working in a project called the Global Yield Gap Atlas. So I will, of course, specifically zoom into the soil information that we're using in that project, but I also try in this presentation to tell you a little bit about this Global Yield Gap Atlas in general. So this is the outline of my presentation. So I first give you a little bit of motivation for this project, this Global Yield Gap Atlas. I will then motivate the focus on sub-Saharan Africa and on this paradigm of sustainable intensification. Then I go to the soils and why they are important in this context. I'll quickly introduce you to the protocols we're using in the Global Yield Gap Atlas. And then I'll talk a little bit about the current sources of soil data we're using, what is available, and also what is becoming available. So why yield gap analysis? We think it's currently not possible to provide reliable answers to some critical questions for policymakers and research and development organizations, such as what is the food production potential for a certain region or country? Will it be possible for a certain country or region to be self-sufficient in food production in the future under different climate and socioeconomic scenarios? When and where can we predict crop yields to stagnate? What are the causes of yield gaps, of course, very important, and how to overcome them? And how can we better target options for sustainable intensification globally, but in this project, more specifically in sub-Saharan Africa? And finally, for example, what are the regions to target experimentation, and what are potential extrapolation domains if we find these options for sustainable intensification? Very quickly, I guess you all know what we mean by yield gaps, but just to show you very quickly this slide, the yield gap is actually defined as the gap between actual yield that farmers are getting on their field and potential yield in the case of irrigated agriculture where water is not a limitation, or the other benchmark for rain-fed agriculture, which is the water and nutrient-limited yield potential. So why, I mean, yield gap analysis is not new, but what motivated us in this specific project is that there are currently some regional studies that are using crop growth models, their experiments or best management practices. They have local relevance, but it is not possible to compare them mutually because they have inconsistent concepts and methods. On the other hand, there are existing global studies, but they generally use statistical procedures or generic crop growth simulation models, and they are consistent, but in general too coarse in resolution, so not really, they're lacking the local detail and hence agronomic relevance. So that really motivated to us to start this project, the Global Yield Gap Atlas. I really encourage you to check out the website, because I will tell you a little bit about it, but obviously there is a lot that I cannot deal with in this presentation. But the principles are a transparent, robust, and agronomically relevant protocols. Very importantly, we use a bottom-up approach, so we really work with local, real, high-resolution data for weather cropping systems and soils. And we have then certain methodologies to upscale our results, which I will tell you a little bit about. And in general, we're aiming for a comprehensive, graphically intuitive, public and widely used atlas used by policymakers, researchers, students, and industry. So this gives you a little bit of an overview on where we are currently working. So we mainly work in 10 countries in sub-Saharan Africa, but there are also side projects coming up in Latin America, and very soon we will have India on board, China, the Middle East, the US, Spain, and Denmark. But generally, for now, we're working with just the five important cereals in the world. There's also a list of partners that are involved besides University of Nebraska, Wageningen University, and ICUSAT. So it's really a global partnership to really improve on this yield gap atlas. Then, why do we focus on sub-Saharan Africa so much? So Indeed, it's one of the giga aspirations to really, well, provide food security in the future, to feed a population exceeding 9 billion, and while conserving natural resources. So in this case, we really think that we need to aim for higher and more stable yields on currently used arable land. So, and in sub-Saharan Africa, 80% of the food produced is actually coming from smallholder agriculture. So they're really, well, they should be part of the solution to food security there. On top of that, food production is currently not keeping pace with population growth. And it has been, well, researched, and many times there are, in fact, many options for sustainable intensification in sub-Saharan Africa, but there's a need for better and careful targeting of these intensification options. What does this mean in this smallholder context? It basically means that it's very difficult, it's very complex, because these production systems are extremely diverse, not only in biophysical conditions, climate, soils, and landforms, but also in socioeconomic conditions. And that's, of course, a big challenge to define these systems and see where best to intervene in terms of biophysical conditions and socioeconomic conditions. In general, there is no silver bullet, yeah? There is no blanket solution for these sustainable intensification options. And we rather, some people have suggested that you rather pick from a basket of options rather than providing a silver bullet solution. I quickly list some of the examples in this basket of options that are currently, that have been researched or that are currently being researched, and we can read them out for yourself. Integrated soil fertility management is a good example of an option for sustainable intensification that has proven to work in some systems in sub-Saharan Africa. That's a lot of more possible interventions. So then we zoom in, why are soils so important in this context? The fact is that the majority of poor farmers in sub-Saharan Africa are actually dealing with poorly responsive soils, degraded soils, and some of the colleagues have really came up with this statement that where natural resources like soils are degraded, these yield gaps can really become poverty traps. So if you want to create an African form of sustainable intensification, we need really to target this better to the agricultural systems responsiveness. Now I want to quickly introduce you really the protocols we're using in this yield gap atlas. It's going to be very quick, but anyway, if you want to have more information about it, it's all on the website. But we really work, as I said, with this bottom-up approach. We work with a climate zonation scheme that is specifically developed for this project, and you can find it in the publication listed here. It's basically a climate zonation scheme based on three climatic parameters, and in that case we make a global zonation scheme consisting of 300 different combinations of temperature seasonality, an aridity index, and length of growing periods. So we use that then, we overlay that with crop-specific harvested areas. We really work crop-specific, as I said, on maize, wheat, rice, sorghum, and millet. We work with weather stations and a buffer zone around them to really do our analysis. There is the soil types and cropping systems coming in for our model simulations. We actually simulate potential yields and water-limited yields with crop growth simulation models. We use observed data on actual yields. And finally, with those simulations and observations, we calculate our yield gaps. And we have then a very, elaborate aggregation and upscaling mechanism in which you can really scale up these yield gaps to either the climate zone level or the country level or the regional level to do some future food security studies. Again, that had to go really quick, but this is a little bit about how we are doing it. Then zooming in on the soil data, because that's in the end what this presentation is really about. And, I quickly, and you probably all know that there is really a huge range of different types of soil data. They're all collected for different purposes, and they're all at different scale levels. We have, of course, the traditional soil survey maps, polygons. But in general, what they're lacking is really functional soil properties that we can use for in our case for our yield gap assessments. You also have these data sets containing georeferenced soil profiles, so they have point data. They usually come with lab measurements, so they have some idea of the functional properties, and very often they are then extrapolated with digital soil mapping techniques. Finally, there's a new source of soil data becoming available, really based on remote sensing technology, and amongst other these near-infrared spectroscopy methodologies for analyzing soil samples, coupled with digital soil mapping. So just to point you to the fact that these soil data are really important is that currently in the Yield Gap Atlas project, we are making use of the ISRIC WISE profile database. But we have done a little exercise in just using different sources of soil data and comparing the use of these different sources of soil data in simulating what is there on the y-axis, its water-limited yield potential. And as you can see, in some years, it's really, well, depending on the data source you use, you get really big differences in simulated water-limited yields. Another problem that we are facing is the importance of soil depth. So here is a little exercise that we did. We simulated, again, water-limited yield potential, but with different soil depths. And of course, it also makes a huge difference in all these different years with real weather data. The problem with soil depth is that there's very little information in all these global databases on soil depth. So we're currently collaborating with the EFSIS project. I will tell you a little bit more about it to improve on this. So that being said, well, there's actually new digital soil maps becoming available. There is the EFSIS 1 kilometer predicted soil property mass for Africa. EFSIS was also doing this sub-project in Africa on the land degradation surveillance framework, so also new data are becoming available. And there are even plans of combining these different sources to really go to a soil property map of 250-meter resolution. Work in progress, a few screenshots. So here is the EFSIS website. Here is an overview of this soil profile database for Africa. So they have around 12,000 soil profiles. They then use these with digital soil mapping to create these maps with actual soil properties. In this case, at a 1 kilometer resolution. This is really, only a few days old. This is one of these functional soil properties that we need for our crop growth simulation models. It's the colleagues at ISRIC actually made a map of available water capacity at 1 kilometer resolution, so that's now also becoming available. But we have not used, we didn't have the chance yet to use that in the Yield Gap project. Finally, a screenshot of the atlas, again, to motivate you to have a look there. There is really a lot of information about the protocols we are using, but there is also a very intuitive mapping interface where you can explore a little bit what we are doing in this project. So in conclusion, improved targeting of sustainable identification options is an important component of future food security studies. The focus on improving soil data is especially relevant for smallholder systems in sub-Saharan Africa. There are new sources of high-resolution soil data becoming available, and they really can help us improving these yield gap assessments. And coupled with these yield gap assessments and the scaling methods we're using in the Yield Gap Atlas, we can really use these soil data to define best bet areas or systems where these options for sustainable intensification can be identified and targeted. And with that, I want to thank you for being here.